Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Missing minerals? 99% of us are. Concentrace Daily Mineral Powder helps restore what your body's missing, naturally supporting mood, energy, and immunity. Get yours now at TraceMinerals.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we're live here at Gamertag Radio, and we have an old friend here that from the show from a long, long time ago, even before he started working at IGN. So he's always been a huge supporter of ours. We have Ryan, man, from IGN. What's going on, Ryan? Ryan McCaffrey.
What's happening, Danny? Good to see you. Yeah, it's you guys. I think you're the longest running Xbox show. I believe it's
yes,
you.
Xbox. Yes.
Dedicated. Yeah, because it's I think you may have even started Gamertag Radio. When did you start it?
February 25th, 2005.
Okay, yeah, because I started KOXM back when I was at OXM in February of 06.
So
yeah, you even had me beat there. Of course, OXM's sadly dead now, but yeah. You know, IGN, they started what was then Three Red Lights sometime well after. Mm-hmm. And then I came, and then it got rebooted into Podcast Unlocked, and then I took it over and kind of redid it. So yeah, you're the king, man. You've got you're the veteran here.
Thanks, though, man. How long has been with Xbox Unlocked now, like the podcast Unlocked?
I just crossed 8 years at IGN. So
wow, so it's ever since you started, right?
Literally my first official day at IGN, I said, let's go do a podcast. Let's get in there and get going.
Yeah. So what is it from about podcasting that you were like, man, I like doing this, man. You know, instead of, because you started doing that before doing videos. So what was it that got your attention of podcasting?
Well, I grew up, I loved radio growing up. I loved listening to the radio. Like you and I are probably the last generation that grew up with radio, with like actual FM radio. And always loved it. And I was a big Howard Stern fan growing up, and just, I would listen to him every day and his show. And I always wanted to be on the radio, because it's like, I'm stuck with this face, but I was gifted with people. The one thing I've literally never been told, wow, you're a handsome fellow.
Yeah.
But I have been told, wow, you've got a great voice. I've been told that a lot. And I did get the gift of the voice. And so I was like, man, I'd love to do radio. That'd be fun. And I did a little bit of it in college. Should have done more college radio. That's a regret. But when podcasting came around after I was working at OXM doing the magazine thing, mm-hmm. I thought, well, this is a great excuse to scratch that radio itch that I never got to do, but still be doing this other thing I love. And so, yeah, like that's kind of it for me. It lets me have that fun without actually having gone into that career.
Mm-hmm. You know which interview that stood out to me, that was like, to me it was one of the best interviews you ever done, was the one that you had Phil Spencer, Peter Moore, like the whole different generations of Xbox. That was an
Seamus
ultimate
Blackley.
Yeah, that was amazing. An amazing podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That is, I knew at the time, and I still believe this, because that was 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. That was 2015. Mm-hmm. That is the best thing I've ever done, and probably ever will do in my at IGN. Like, it's not to say that I don't try to do cool things now, but that was just such a special planet aligning moment. And it took 6 months to set up, to try and get those guys all in the same place at the same time to do that. And yeah, that was worked hard for that opportunity, and feel really good when I got the opportunity, I took full advantage, and those, they were great. I mean, it's that was a fun night. That was one night at E3. It was like, it was after hours at E3, and that was a special time.
Yeah, as a fan of Xbox, that was like my highlight. I was like, man, I don't know if we ever going to see something like that, man, you know, in the future, man. But it was really cool, and I just love the conversation of like behind the scenes stories of the good and bad from the company, you know. So the one that stood out to me was about the Xbox 360 Red Ring of Death. Yes. That was really good. I think it was Peter Moore that talked about it.
Peter Moore, yeah, talking about having to go ask Steve Ballmer for $1 billion.
Wow. He was probably like
and
nervous.
Steve saying yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That was cool. That was cool. Was there any interviews do you think that stood out to you from your career, from like podcast wise? In your opinion,
oh, man.
Besides that one?
I've been lucky to do a lot over the years. I will say, my other, it's not Xbox specific, but I do this little interview show that really nobody watches and nobody listens to. It's totally a passion project called IGN Unfiltered. It's just once a month. So I just get, because one guest a month, try and get that out once a month. And that's been going for a few years now, too. I've got, I think, 51 or so episodes. But there have been some really great people that I've been lucky enough to have on there. But the one that stands out is... talking Xbox, Marty O'Donnell, you know, composer from Bungie, the composer of the Halo theme and all the wonderful Halo music over the years. Mm-hmm. We had a 2-hour conversation and that we shot at his new studio. And he's got Highwire Games now. They did that game Golem for PSVR. And I'll tell you, he was getting pretty real about the breakup and the divorce from Bungie. You know, they fired him and there was litigation, and it was getting into, you know, well past just like business friendly topics. Like it was getting real. And, and in my head, I'm like, man, I want to ask him, as someone who was divorced a long time ago and went into therapy, I was like, man, I want to ask this guy if he saw a therapist to help deal with this. But it's like, man, if he bristles at that question, if that's like too personal, then this interview could go take a wrong turn like real quick. But I decided to go for it, and he was just super honest and said, yeah, he did say he went and got some mental health help in that time. And that always stood out to me as like, wow, I actually. I was like a real journalist in that, instead of just a pretend boy doing pretend journalism. Mm-hmm.
Nah, but you know why I like those type of conversation is that it gets personal. I think it's it doesn't sound like clickbait. It's just you guys are just having a normal conversation, and that person that you're interviewing, they're gonna get comfortable and they're gonna say more things than just talking to like a regular media. You know what I'm saying? So
that's right. Yeah. I mean, that was always, and I'll tell you, you know, love or hate Howard Stern, because he tends to elicit both reactions. Mm-hmm. He is probably the best interviewer in media over the last 30 years, or at least maybe 20 years, because he does exactly that. And he was always a role model for me as far as interviewing people goes, because he's real good at that, of just getting you comfortable and then having a real conversation. So
yeah,
it's I'm very lucky to get to do what I do for this. Like, I'm going on, listen, it's July 15th as we record this, so I'm coming up on 18 years of doing this.
Oh my God.
Like, I'm so spoiled, I'm so grateful and fortunate that, I mean, yes, I had the opportunity that as a young kid coming out of college, so I'm grateful for the opportunity. And I like to, my hope is that I've just worked hard to make the most of that and not take it for granted. But I am a blessed person to get to do this for the better part of 2 decades now, and hopefully more.
No, and I feel, Ryan, that you are one of those people. I can name only a couple people, in my opinion, that grew up just reading your content and also listen to your show. I feel like you also have changed the industry in when it comes to like media.
I don't know about that.
No, I think so. Yeah, I'll add, honestly, like you, Dan Hsu, there's a couple people that, I mean, there's a long list of people too, but that also used to work at 1UP. I feel like I wish more people will focus on just creating better content instead of focusing on just clickbait. Nowadays,
I'm with you there.
Nowadays, that's what we see, man, because that's what gain the hits and ads and you know, money. So, but I love that sometimes you guys are, especially you, you will create stuff from the podcast. It's just, it feels genuine, you know, like the conversation that you had with Peter Moore, with Phil Spencer, with a bunch of other people, you know. It's like us, like sometimes we just record because we're just fans of gaming. And because of our conversation with that person that we interview, it goes everywhere. It goes viral. And it's not planned at all. And those, to me, are like the highlights when it comes to like creating content, you know. So,
yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You get, like, for me, I gotta put my head on the pillow and sleep at night. Like, I'm probably honest. I'm a very much an honesty is the best policy person, and that has served me well in both my personal and professional life. It's like, I don't like to BS people, and I don't like to lie to people. And it's just like, I'm just going to conduct myself in an honest way. And it's, I'm not always going to be right. And I'm not always going to do the right thing. I'm going to try, but I find that, yeah, it's like, if you just kind of just be honest about yourself, and when you're, whether you're interviewing somebody else or talking about a product, like, you know, it's not to derail here, but like, you know, Xbox has suffered this generation. The story is well told about the Xbox One, but you know, we do Podcast Unlocked every week, as you do Gamertag Radio on a regular basis. And it's, you know, I get the most hate I get, online hate. Thankfully, it's never crossed over into like real world scary hate, but the trolling I get is from so-called Xbox fans, because they want me, some of them, not all of them, it's a vocal minority, they want you to lie to them and tell them everything's great. It's like, well, no, the thing you love, whether it's Xbox or let's say like Halo 5, when I did an hour when that game came out about how much I hated the campaign, because I love Halo so much and it was so flawed. Like, if you never criticize, they'll never get better. If you're just telling, if a dog is eating its own poop and you're like, good boy, good job, well, guess what? The dog's going to keep eating the poop and it's never going to learn not to do that and to be healthier and to be better. So that's, I don't know why I went there. Maybe it's just the dog's right over here, but
it's all good.
But yeah, it's like, you know, constructive. It's, and you know, but it goes the other way too. You can't just hate for the sake of being a hater and doing, you know, just being unfair. It's both ways. You gotta, you know, constructive criticism is key to, in my opinion, your own integrity and your own professionalism. But also, if you're really serious about being an enthusiast about something, whether it's Xbox or whatever, you've got to call out the good and the bad, so that you're always wanting this thing you like to learn from the bad, but also learn from the good. Like, yeah, keep doing that, which will mean something. Whereas if you do nothing but praise, well, then your praise starts to lose meaning, right? Like, oh, well, of course, like, Ryan always says great things about Xbox. Why should it, like,
yeah,
no, it's like, now when Halo Infinite comes around, if it's awesome, and of course we are hoping it is, like, I like to think that my word will mean something then, because Ryan spent an hour trashing Halo 5. So if he's saying Infinite's great, which I hope to be able to say, then I'm hoping that'll mean something to people.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, we're definitely going to talk about that in a few minutes. But
sure.
One thing, and no, a lot of people don't know about this. So back in 2001, when I was doing internet radio, IGN featured my show, Fantasy Star Online, PSO Radio back then. And
nice.
And I was like, I love that game too. So I was like very surprised that you guys, this was before you started working there, but I was surprised that they posted an article about my show. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to email IGN because I think this would be cool. We could do like an internet radio. Maybe we could collab or something. This was in 2001. I was still in college.
Yeah.
Man, I sent an email, crickets. I didn't get like no no calls or anything. But I feel like at that time it was so new that they were like, nah, this is not going to be a big thing. But I'm glad to see that not only IGN, but everybody's now doing podcasts. Like I love that.
That's right.
There's different type of content, and you have the option to, you know, to listen to whatever you want, you know, nowadays. So I know you guys have multiple, right? Multiple shows and stuff. So,
oh yeah. I mean, you know, I personally do three podcasts, two for IGN. And then I do a for on the side. I'm very passionate about Teslas. So I do a Tesla podcast, which may seem silly and stupid to some people, but guess what? That's okay, because that's just my little corner. That's a thing I like. Mm-hmm. And I do content on that. And that's the beauty part. It's like, you know, it's going back to the radio thing of like, radio has died as the internet has become more and more ubiquitous, and the internet is in our cars now. So it's like the internet has kind of taken, and podcasting, to your point, mm-hmm. has taken the place of radio. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you don't have to try and find a station you like. You just find everything you like. You know, you just make a playlist of Gamertag Radio and you know, whatever. Maybe there's a football podcast that you like listening to, and an 80s action figures podcast. You know, it's great. I mean, that's the beauty part of it. There's people out there that following their passions in so many different things that you can find whatever it is that you're interested in and immerse yourself in the joy and enthusiasm of it.
Yeah, definitely. And now let's go now to the Xbox Games Showcase. Now, I know everybody's talking about it, but before we talk about that showcase, which is going to happen sometime next week, Thursday of next week, was there any other press conference that, in your opinion, stood out to you from Xbox throughout the years?
So we'll start with the bad and then go with the good, because we're just kind of working back. I mean, 2013 was bad. What's funny is I actually don't remember much from the conference itself, but I remember I don't know where you were in the building then, but I was like sort of the front-ish, but over on the right side, I guess it would be stage left. But so anyway, where I'm sitting, I could see, of course, the stage, but then I could see the big teleprompter screen too. And it's getting towards the end. And I remember I look over, and before Phil says it, I see it on the screen, Xbox One available this, I don't know if it was November or holiday at that point in time, but available this holiday for $499. And I remember I saw it before he said it. And I was like, it was like a slow motion train wreck. I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no. And he says it.
Yeah.
And you, like, I'm telling you, Danny, I don't know if you remember, the air came out of that room.
It was
like,
it was crickets. I remember.
It was awful.
Yes.
Like, it was just like, oh my God, this is a nightmare. This is terrible. This is a disaster.
But, yeah.
And then of course Sony just twisted the knife that Microsoft had shoved into their own belly with the whole, like, here's how to share used games thing. So,
yeah. I want to mention something about that. So I think that was the part that was the worst. But content-wise, because I had this conversation with Paris, because he actually went back and watched all the press conferences from 2013 till now.
Oh,
so
wow.
He said, Danny, if you actually think about it, that content-wise, it wasn't bad. It was just the price that killed the whole press conference.
That was it. Absolutely.
But it was The Witcher 3, they showed it there. Titanfall was there. There was a couple other games too that I'm like, oh my God, it wasn't that bad. But like you said, it was the price that killed everything, man.
Yeah.
You know?
But to go back to good ones, certainly the Santa Monica year when E3
07.
Moved out from the convention center in downtown LA, when E3 got canceled the first time,
mm-hmm.
But they were Xbox. They were at a high school in Santa Monica, and that was the year. That was the Rock Band year, and you had Peter Moore on stage playing Rock Band live. Like, they should have. I can't believe they didn't just pre-record that. But he was playing live, and I remember they screwed up like he screwed up a note at one point.
He paused the game, actually.
That's what it was. Thank you. Yeah, but that was super fun. That was a fun year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there have been some really There have been some really good years.
Which one was this? The one that it was the Beatles and they had also showed Alan Wake. That was a pretty good one too.
That was actually, that would have been, I believe, 09. Yeah, because that's when Beatles Rock Band was 09, 09, 09.
Yes, yes, yes.
That was the year I wasn't there because that, if you remember, that was the big recession. And our parent company, Future, had, we were furloughed that year. And then for E3, they were like, you know, things are really tough. We're only going to send one person per staff to E3. And our editor-in-chief, Francesca Reyes, went. I didn't get to go that year. So that was one I watched from home. But yeah, that was a cool year too. It's like, oh, I missed seeing a Beatle.
That was classic. That was a classic historic moment, man, gaming.
Yeah. And I really think, I'll tell you, it would have been, how many years would this have been? I can't remember the specific year, but a few years ago with backwards compatibility, that was probably the biggest bring down the house moment that Xbox has had in the last 7 years. Mm-hmm. That was it was just like this awesome thing that they were doing. So that one stands out as well.
Yeah, I forgot about that one too. That was really good. But now, Ryan, like I'm excited for next week, but at the same time, I'm kind of nervous because the one thing I hate, I guess, excited about something, and then when you see the results, you're like, it's okay or it's bad. You know what I'm saying? So how nervous are you for Microsoft? Because as a fan of Xbox, like, because it's next week is a very important, I think is the most important press conference that they ever done in the history of the company.
And I know Paris feels the same way, and I wrote an editorial on IGN. I feel exactly the same way you guys do. Mm-hmm. I'm not nervous for it. I'll be honest. Like, you know, I try to be fair and objective as I take my job seriously, even though I cover video games. But I try to take it seriously within that. But of course, I am still also a fan. And I'll tell you, Danny, I want Microsoft to have a win because I feel like they haven't had a real win in this entire generation. I know I just said the backwards compatibility thing. That was awesome. Mm-hmm. But like where people walk away going, man, yes, Xbox won E3. Because every year you hit Sony won E3. And most of the time that's been a pretty fair assessment to have because they've, you know, whether they're showing The Last of Us Part 2 or they're showing Spider-Man or God of War, like, mm-hmm. yeah, Sony has, they've, their presentations have mostly been really good. I mean, not every year, but I just want Microsoft, I would love for Microsoft mm-hmm. to just get a win where everybody collectively goes, yes, they killed that. Great job. Halo looks amazing. Mm-hmm. This looks amazing. That looks amazing. So I'm rooting for them to have a great show. I just want to see them be able to take a victory lap for once.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you know what? I have to say this. Like, I just love how Phil has been really open and doing multiple interviews throughout the year. Because if you go back, Phil is like once in a blue moon, he will do an interview with someone. Like they're very careful on where they will have him on, right? So I know for us, I was trying to get Phil for years because we had him back in 2014.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Paris. I'm like, man, Paris, our 1,000 episodes coming up, man. I want to get Phil, but I really doubt he's going to be on. And he was like, you know what? Contact them one more time, at least one more time. You never know. And I did it. And there was crickets all the way to like January. That's when we found out, hey, we're going to have the interview with Phil, 1,000 episode. But ever since then, ever since he was on our show, he went to you guys. I think you guys interviewed him twice, two different shows, right? Am I correct?
Yeah. I mean, we recorded him at the same time.
Yeah. Oh, well. he had a different shirt. So, like, all right. But I'm saying, like, every month he was on either a website or a show. So I love that he's super open, talking about what they've been working on for a while now. And it was like a buildup for now, for July 23rd, you know? So it all started December of last year with the Game Awards where they showed mm-hmm. the console, Hellblade 2. So I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm just curious to see what is it they're going to show because, like, look, I'm a fan of Halo. Of course, that's going to be announced. We already know about that. But also, I feel like they have a lot of old IPs that they could bring back that I feel like they need a second chance, man, to bring it back. Like,
what do you want to see happen, Danny? What games do you want
to
see?
Perfect Dark. I would love to see that. You know, I'm a huge fan of Viva Piñata, man. I play that more than Gears of War. I love Viva Piñata. Yeah. And I think now, with everything that's going on, like games like Animal Crossing, that's like the perfect game, man, to have, right? Cameo, I think, was, in my opinion, it was a great game, man, for at that time for the 360. You know, not a lot of people liked it, but I think it was pretty cool. It was decent, you know?
I liked it. I think that's one of those games where if you went back now, it might not hold up super great. But yeah, I think that was one of those like launch goggle kind of games where it's like, yeah, I've got this brand new platform. It's it plays in HD and the graphics are way better. And it's it was a good game. I agree. It was that would probably be in my top five of the launch window games from the 360.
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, it was way better than Perfect Dark Zero. You know, so but even Paris bring back Banjo-Kazooie, and I think that's possible because, you know, that character was in Smash, and I think that's a perfect opportunity to release a new game, right? But there's other ones too, man. I could go on. Crimson Skies, there's a bunch of other ones from back then.
I'll tell you, something I floated on Podcast Unlocked last week that people were, I got a lot of tweets about from people that were like, yes.
Which one?
It would be Banjo 3E. Bring Banjo back. Give it to Double Fine.
Yes.
Let Tim Schafer make a Banjo game.
Yes.
How great would that
I'll
be?
I'll be good with that. I'll be really good with that.
Do it on Unreal Engine 5. Mm-hmm. Like, make it the most incredible, beautiful, colorful game. Like, yeah, with his writing and the Double Fine team's talents, I would be... Like, because Rare's busy. And also, you know, quite frankly, with no disrespect to Rare, the people that made Banjo, they're all gone. A lot of them stuck around together and they made Yooka-Laylee together. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, Rare's busy with Sea of Thieves and Everwild. Give Banjo to Tim Schafer and his crew. That's what I say. Yeah.
And I'll tell you one more game that I feel is a very important game that I know it's a third-party game, right? But it was an exclusive for Xbox, and that's Jet Set Radio Future.
Nice. Right? Yes.
So, you know, Sega has been giving that IPs to other studios to work on. Like, for example, the Streets of Rage 4. That was from a totally different studio. Amazing game. Bayonetta. Now that's a Nintendo Switch exclusive. Jet Set Radio could be that exclusive for Xbox. Originally, if you think about it, the second game was the original Xbox. That was an exclusive for that console.
Right.
Why not bring that back? Announce that the Jet Set Radio Future is available right now on Xbox Game Pass, and just announce that they're working on the new game, Next Generation. And like you said, give it to a new studio. That they're hungry,
yeah,
and just let them do it. And I think last week it was the 20th anniversary of that game, of the original Jet Set Radio. I know, I feel really old. But when they interviewed, I think it was USGamer.net. They interviewed the developers, the original developers of the game, and they want the game to come back. But when they made that game, they were hungry. They were hungry at that time. They want the next generation that's also hungry to work on the next Jet Set Radio. What you think about that?
I'm with you. I mean, yes. Yeah, if you find the right talent, I couldn't agree more. I mean,
yeah.
I feel like Sunset Overdrive kind of was that spiritual successor, and
love that
sadly
game.
It bombed, but although, you know, it tanked, I think it was more, and I even I think I was talking to Phil about this on Unlocked. Yeah, I asked him about it publicly, and it seemed like it was, at least I interpret it more as that was an Xbox problem more than a Sunset Overdrive problem at that. You know, remember that was fall 2014, which when, you know, Xbox was still pretty down in the dumps at that point. But no, I'm with you. Like there really isn't anything like Jet Set now. Like I said, Sunset Overdrive was probably the last thing that even sort of was a close spiritual successor. So yeah. I'm totally on board with you on
but
that.
But see, I loved Sunset Overdrive so much that was the game. That's the reason why there's a Spider-Man game.
That's true.
You know, so they learn a lot from designing that game, and they're like, hey, we can make a better one now with Spider-Man. So
yep, the traversal in it, yeah, was really paved the way for Spider. You can definitely see the DNA of Spider-Man in Sunset Overdrive.
Definitely, definitely. So what is it that, in your opinion, because I asked this already a couple people, what could be the mic drop moment for Xbox next week?
So I did... Once 343 confirmed that Halo campaign would be showed, I tweeted about it, and then I got such a response that I just put up a silly, you know, little Twitter poll. I said, okay, well, do you think Halo will open the show or close the show? And most people voted open, and I agree. I think you've got to open with Halo, because that people have been waiting to see that. They expect to see that. They know it's going to be there. Show it first. Set the tone with what will hopefully be a fantastic campaign. And a lot of people in the replies to that were Fable's the mic drop at the end. Announce the new Fable from Playground. And even if that, I guess, maybe wouldn't surprise people, because Fable's sort of this poorly kept secret now. I think that would be pretty great, of just like Fable's back, but and show how Playground is putting their spin on it. I mean, we know, like, it's pretty obvious that it's going to use a version of Forza Horizon's tech, because think about the awesome four-season weather that's in Horizon 4 and apply that to a, like, medieval fantasy Fable game.
That would be amazing.
And what that's a really cool technical foundation.
Yeah.
For what that studio could do with that game. So I think Fable would be a tremendous way to go, because I know Fable 3 was not as well received. There was Fable the Journey for Kinect, which I reviewed for IGN. Most people have completely forgotten about that or tried never to remember it in the first place.
Yeah.
That was actually a fun game when it worked, but it literally, because of Kinect, literally just didn't work half the time. But I think Fable always was a great idea. That Fable 2 was the closest it came to fulfilling that idea's potential, and I think it mostly did. But I think Fable's the one that, you know, that could be their Zelda, their big fantasy action adventure game. So I'd love to see it come back.
Yeah, and you know what, Ryan, like, I'm excited for all the old IPs to make a return, but I also feel that Xbox should also announce new IPs, stuff that we have never seen before in gaming and also from the company, because I feel like there's way too many FPS, way too many. You don't want Xbox to just be known FPS forever. You know, so like you said, Fable's a great game. I think that would be perfect. But show us new stuff. Like, I feel like I said before, Viva Piñata was like a unique game, but the crowd that supports Xbox, they love the shooters. You know, so that's the thing that I love about Nintendo. They take risk all the time. You know, and now PlayStation's been doing the same exact thing, especially with new IPs. And I think that Xbox definitely needs that too.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. Yeah, I mean, the good news is, so Obsidian is confirmed to be at the showcase. They had publicly said, I think they said 343, Obsidian, and Double Fine were the three. So maybe the Obsidian showing is just going to be grounded. But my hope is that it's going to be the new, presumably, RPG from their other team, which was the Pillars of Eternity team, because there's the Outer Worlds team, and they obviously shipped their game last fall, so they're going to be presumably doing a sequel, because that was a successful game. And then you have the very small group of people, it was like 14 people, they said, that are working on Grounded. But then you've got the team that did Pillars of Eternity, the sequel, that was like 2.5 years ago that game shipped, so they should be, that crew should be well into something. Maybe it's going to be another Pillars of Eternity. Microsoft owns it all now. Or, to your point, I'm kind of hoping it's a totally new RPG from, you know, new idea from the ground up. We know In Exile is going to be doing an Unreal Engine 5 RPG as their next project after they finish off Wasteland 3 coming up next month. Mm-hmm. And I mean, hopefully that's going to be a new IP as well. I mean, maybe they take Wasteland into, you know, a totally different territory with Unreal Engine 5, but hopefully that'll be new. And you're right, though. It's such a delicate balance between the cool IPs that Xbox does have in their portfolio, like you're talking about, but also bringing some new ideas to the table, too. I mean, it's totally fair for Xbox fans to want to look at PlayStation and Sony and go, well, man, that, you know, you had Guerrilla doing Killzone games. That was their franchise, but Sony allowed them to set that aside and do a new idea, and look what they got out of it. They got Horizon Zero Dawn, which was a tremendous success by any measure. And they had Uncharted at Naughty Dog, their biggest, best studio. And they were allowed to branch off from Uncharted and do The Last of Us, which became even more successful and beloved than Uncharted was. So there is that. There's that evidence right there that's like, well, boy, it would be cool to see the Coalition and cool to see 343 step outside and be allowed to flex their creativity on something new.
Yeah, and take risk, man. You know, like during the 360 days, I'll mention one game that I felt that it could make a return now too is Lost Odyssey from a Japanese studio, nice. Right? So,
yes,
amazing game. That was really good, right? And especially when we had Phil on our show, I think it was actually Paris that asked him about what about those having a studio in Japan that's for Xbox. Is that going to happen? You know, are they planning to announce any games made from over there in Japan? And the reason is that I feel like that could happen too. First, based on the conversation we had with Phil, but also earlier this year, Xbox Game Pass officially launched in Japan. And that could be a big thing for Microsoft if they do it right. But they need that Japanese studio, I think, to stand out, right?
Yeah, and I mean, the history is there. You mentioned Jet Set Radio. In the early original Xbox days, when the PlayStation 2 was this juggernaut, they got Team Ninja on board to do Ninja Gaiden and Dead or Alive,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
which were, you know, these were Japanese developers, Japanese studio, building exclusive games for an American console. There is a history there. Otogi is another from Software before From became the Dark Souls people.
What was it? Made a great. What was a Phantom Dust?
I mean, that was Japanese.
But that
too.
Was they published that game. They published that game though.
Well, it was exclusive,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, and I mentioned another one too. Well, originally it was going to come up, but it got canceled. It was True Fantasy Online.
I remember looking at the trailers and the screenshots for that game. I loved the art style. It was just this gorgeous, gorgeous game, and it was going to be not level based, but it was going to be like you'd level up based on the stuff you're doing, which like Oblivion went on to do that later.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Yeah. Boy, I was excited for that. That was level 5 too, like a renowned Japanese RPG studio. Yeah. I was very sad when that one got killed.
Blue Dragon is another one that was pretty cool, I think, you know? So, definitely. And even had some Japanese animation, right? Like they had an anime for that and also anime for cartoons for Viva Pinata. So Microsoft has done it all. I just feel like just the timing, man. It was just not the right time for that for them, you know? So.
Oh, you're so, like, I mean, to your Viva Pinata, you're right. Like, that game would kill now. Like, it was arguably ahead of its time. Mm-hmm. It just came out before those kinds of games were a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, it was cool. It was cool. So, is there anything else? Like, do you feel that they should show more about Xbox Game Pass and Project S Cloud during next week? Or you think they should just focus on the games, in your opinion?
No, it's been hyped up as, we're going to finally show you the games. Mm-hmm. So that's what I don't, to me, I would say, don't clown around with anything else. Just bombard me with your new games. Like, make me want to buy, I mean, I'm already buying a Series X, but like for the, generally speaking, make people want to get a Series X, make them want to upgrade. Mm-hmm. If they're a PlayStation owner, I'm not necessarily saying you're going to convince people to switch outright from one conference, but maybe, you know, just put the Xbox in their minds, is make people go, well, wow, yeah, Microsoft, I was a PlayStation guy this generation, but man, maybe I should be trying to save up and get both this time around. Mm-hmm. 'Cause like make people wanna really pay attention to the Xbox platform, which again, there have been a ton of great things this generation. I mean, the Xbox One X is a great mid-cycle upgrade console that's clearly better than the PS4 Pro. And mm-hmm. Game Pass, we're going to look back on in 5 years and we're going to go, wait, there was a time when everyone wasn't doing that? What? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, Game Pass is tremendous, but yeah, they've got to show the games. I mean, they've got to finally walk the walk. They've been talking the talk for the last 3 years of, we acquired 7 studios, we acquired 4 more studios. Now's the time to show what they've been up to.
You know what I want to ask you that I mentioned this online. I think you were the one that killed it for me. I'm like, you were like, no, that's not going to happen. It was, I feel, Ryan, that I think Xbox might launch early before November, maybe October, late September. And the reason why I'm saying this is because I think Microsoft does not want to release Xbox Series X during the same time of PlayStation 5. But I get what you were saying because of the situation that we're in now with COVID. Right. Maybe those plans has changed. So it's possible that we might see this console earlier instead of releasing in November.
Yeah, I mean, I completely get where you're coming from in that, especially if, because we've been speculating about this a ton on Podcast Unlocked, like based on what Phil told me in my interview with him a few months ago, where he said that they're going to remain agile on pricing and that he has the backing of Amy Hood, the CFO, and Satya Nadella, the CEO, to stay agile on pricing. Mm-hmm. If they undercut Sony on the PS5 and they're $50 or $100 cheaper, I mean, it definitely would make a lot of sense in a vacuum to come out first, which is obviously what they did with the 360 to an extreme degree. They beat PlayStation by a year there, but they had the great games to go with it for that year too, which is part of why they got off to such a great start mm-hmm. in the 360 generation. Mm-hmm. But so yeah, I mean, it makes a lot of sense for if they can be cheaper than PS5, get out early and tempt some people. Say, hey, we're out a month earlier than they are. We've got some cool games, some next generation games here, and we're cheaper, and we got a really powerful machine. So there's a compelling argument to be made. For me, it's the supply issues. I mean, granted, I don't have insight into that, but just based on what we've been hearing and seeing from these companies about how COVID had slowed down everything mm-hmm. On the manufacturing side. Maybe they've caught up now and that's moot. But the other one to me is Halo. I mean, they've been working on it for 5 years, but launch titles are so hard they compound the difficulty level for developers because you're trying to ship you're trying to ship a AAA game, and you're trying to ship a AAA game on a brand new platform, and in this case, while also supporting the current platform. So it seems like, plus the fact that we've been shown so little of Halo to now, it just kind of feels like they're probably going to need every day they can get. And I mean, maybe they've been building that into the schedule, and they're going to make late September or October, and you're going to end up being a prophet. But it does. It just seems like there are too many logistics against it. So, I don't know anything, but
I agree though, what you're saying though. I totally agree. Couple months ago, actually last year, I was talking to Peter Moore. He was on our show to talk about the 20th anniversary of Sega Dreamcast. And
awesome.
And one of the things that he mentioned to me that stood out to me at that moment, at that time, I mean, I didn't realize that. He mentioned that one of the mistakes that they did back then was they launched too many games for launch for the Dreamcast. And then there was like this time there was super dry. There was no games from Sega, right? So if you go a couple years back when the Nintendo Switch launched, every month there was a new game exclusive first party from Nintendo.
Yes, sir.
Right? And I know Xbox 360 had a pretty decent launch around day one, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many games do you think it will be perfect for Microsoft to launch for the Xbox Series X, Game Pass, and everything later this year?
Yeah, I actually brought this up to Phil in our interview a few months ago, mm-hmm. and he, in his Phil way of sort of saying it without explicitly saying mm-hmm. it, he pretty well, my interpretation was exactly that we probably shouldn't expect anything besides Halo from first party. Maybe there'll be one other thing. I mean, I was convinced forever, just based on the calendar, that Forza Motorsport 8 was going to be a launch title, because they already skipped a year. You know, we didn't get a Forza last year, mm-hmm. as we typically have. But it was pointed out to me on Twitter that Microsoft's been putting a lot of attention on Dirt 5 and, 4K, 120 frames. And it's like, would they be doing that if Forza Motorsport 8 were getting ready to gear up and get announced and get launched? And like, maybe not. So maybe that Forza is really, they're really kind of tearing everything down and rebuilding it for next gen. So, mm-hmm. I think, but Phil also said your exact point that with Game Pass, that he wants to have a steady flow of content. So yeah, I think we're probably looking from first party at Halo and then a more kind of continuous stream of regular releases rather than stacking a bunch of stuff up mm-hmm. on launch day, which, you know, makes sense because now we already know, Danny, that we're getting Halo Infinite on day one. And then from third party, there's Watch Dogs will be out. It's, you know, that's in October 29th. So mm-hmm. if it launches early, like you're suggesting and hoping for, maybe Watch Dogs is a launch title, or if it ends up launching in November, it's already out. So you could play that on Series X mm-hmm. and then Assassin's Creed Valhalla, that's November 17th. And of course, Cyberpunk 2077, that's like that game. Yeah. Why would you send a first party game that you've spent years on out to die when Cyberpunk's yes. out there? Because yeah. you have to know, like, yeah. it's like, you know, even if it's a totally different genre, Cyberpunk is going to be a juggernaut this fall. I mean, you're looking at the three biggies. So we don't even, Call of Duty hasn't even been announced, but that's a huge every year. So you've got Call of Duty, you've got Halo Infinite, you've got Assassin's Creed Valhalla, you've got Cyberpunk, you've got Spider-Man Miles Morales. And setting aside, I don't care if you're happy or mad, how you feel about it being, you know, a standalone expansion kind of thing, it's still a huge release. Spider-Man was a massive game. So you've got all those. If you're Microsoft, why would you put anything else out into that? Like for Series X, save it for January, save it for February. Like,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I think the more you mention that, the more I'm convinced that the Series X might come out a little bit early, because why would Microsoft release Halo Infinite in the middle of all that in November? it's brutal. And like you said, they've been working on that game for a very long time, 5 years.
Yeah.
Imagine releasing it in the middle of November with all those games in them, and like at around the same time.
Yeah, I mean, Halo, look at like Halo 3. Remember, Halo 3 came out in late September,
yeah.
and it avoided Call of Duty in November.
Modern Warfare. Yep.
That's right. Yeah. That was 2007. Yeah, that was the biggest Call of Duty ever. That it had a couple month head start on, so it could still, you know, get an audience and do well. So mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, you certainly make a very compelling point and good argument there.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, I think release maybe two games, so it'll be Halo Infinite, maybe a digital independent game, maybe Cuphead or something like that, right?
Right.
Release it around that time. And then every month, there will be a first party or an exclusive third party, time exclusive game on Xbox Game Pass every month throughout the whole year. And then early next year, then you could start releasing maybe Fable or like stuff like that, you know, in spring. So I think they could do that, stretch it out, because they have so many studios now that they could start doing episodic episodes or full game episodes, like, you know, like the Outer Worlds and stuff like that. I think that will work out perfectly for yeah, Xbox.
Well, think about, like, we could also have for day one. For day one of Series X, we could also get the Series X enhanced version of Flight Sim, which just got a PC release date for August.
Yes, agreed.
So that's a possibility because it is coming to Xbox. So what it makes the timing seems right. Like, okay, 3-4 months to get the console version ready to go for Series X. Gears Tactics, they could have, you know, again, that game's been out for PC, but it would be new for console players who don't game on PC.
Agreed.
That could be there on day one. And the one we know for a fact, it has been announced that, yes, okay, older game now, but the Series X optimized version of Gears 5 will be there on day and date as well. So, you know, that's another thing. If you didn't play it last year, you could play it now. And even if you did, all right, well, here's some good reason to run it again with Series X optimization. So there's going to be, that might be their smart way of having first party support without sending a new game out to get killed.
Yes, yes. And something totally different too, because the Flight Simulator, that to me could be the pilot wings for Xbox One for launch, right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and what better time to put out a game, a hardcore, gorgeous simulation of traveling than in the middle of a pandemic where nobody's really traveling.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's quite the, even though Flight Simulator is not really a game per se, it's a simulation, but it's what better time to put that out? It's total escapist entertainment.
Yeah. You know, I asked this question to Major Nelson, I think it was last year, at E3. We had a very long conversation about his life and him as a podcast and everything. So for you, which I'm going to end it with this question. You have kids, or imagine grandkids in the future, 100 years from now. Like, what is it that you want people to remember you? You know, if they go back and they find one of your Tesla's podcasts 100 years from now, something like that, you know, like, because I feel like now it's easier for the next generation or even this generation to find us online, because when I find pictures of my parents, it's like one of those rare moments, right? But your kids, they could go to Google and just search name and they'll find pictures, articles, all type of stuff. So what is it that you want people to remember you?
That's a great question. That is a fantastic question I've never really thought about. But yeah, I'll tell you, I would hope that I'm remembered as just someone that pursued their passions with integrity and diligence. Like, it's you know, I do this. I take my job really seriously, my career really seriously. I do the Tesla podcast every week, like literally every week. I don't miss a week because I think it's important to do the work and to be there for your audience if you're serious about it. So yeah, I hope somebody would look back and go, yeah, wow, that guy, like, he was really adamant about pursuing the things he loved and working on the things he loved in a way that was that you know, that my ancestors, my children, grandchildren could be proud of. Like, to your point kind of earlier about clickbait and all that stuff, like, that I had the integrity of doing, you know, an honest day's work in these things that I'm, these enthusiastic pursuits that I'm so lucky to get to call my job.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm excited for next week, man. I'm excited to see your reaction your reaction of everything, because I know you're also a huge fan of Xbox. But now, Ryan, just want to say, man, thank you for being on the show, man. And hopefully we can have you back. And you know what I would love to do in the future? Not now, but in the future, maybe close to the launch of Xbox Series X, I would love to do like a podcast unlock cross GTR, some type of, you know, together podcast, you know?
Let's do it. Absolutely.
I think that would be cool. Something different.
I'm all for that.
Yeah.
I'm all for that. I mean, there aren't a lot of particularly, especially long-running podcasts that are dedicated to Xbox. Like, it's, I don't say that in a like a bragging way, or but like the reality, like there are plenty of YouTube shows and things out there, but like you've been going longer than anyone. I've been at it at IGN for a while, and prior to that at OXM for a while. So the reason I say that is, like, to my point earlier about, you know, you and I have endured the dark ages of Xbox, this generation where Microsoft's been down and out. So, you know, we're not assuming the Series X and the future is going to be really bright for Xbox, and we're going to head back into a glory period for Xbox again. You and I, it'll mean a lot more to us because we were there in the bad times. We didn't just hop on the bandwagon when the Series X came in and you know, and does really well. Like, well, we remember the good times with original Xbox and the 360, and then the dark years with the Xbox One. So, you know, we have that context that we can share with, you know, communicate to and share with our audience.
Yeah, definitely, man. All right, but thanks a lot, Ryan.
Absolutely, Danny. Oh, mention, always a pleasure.
Mention your Twitter account, man. People want to follow you.
Oh, sure thing. It's I'm at DMC_Ryan, and it's not Devil May Cry. It's because I used to own a DeLorean, if you're curious. Yeah. That's another story. Yeah. That's another show. But, follow me on there anytime. And if you're curious about electric cars and Teslas specifically, I do my weekly Tesla podcast. It's called Ride the Lightning. So just search Ride the Lightning Tesla, or you can find the link in my Twitter bio.
Yeah, and make sure to listen to episode 100. That's a very important episode for you, right? For your podcast.
Oh, 200. Ride the Lightning. Yeah, I had a one-hour sit-down with Elon Musk. So that was you talk about trying to get Phil and taking months and months to set that up. Yeah. That was how it was with Elon. It took a long, long time, but very proud to have gotten that opportunity.
All right, cool. Congratulations, man. All right, Ryan, thanks a lot.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio. Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Feel off? Tired? Moody? You might be missing minerals, because 99% of us are. Concentrace Daily Mineral Powder helps support energy, mood, and immunity from the inside out. Go to TraceMinerals.com and feel the difference minerals make.
There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. Once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of Happy Head. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists design a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long-term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here.